little bit of a pullback on the rates on the bonds. You had a bit of a Bitcoin mini bounce, and you've got a much more energetic bounce on gold and silver that has come in, and you're getting a rally. I want to warn a little bit, and we'll go to the charts when we do that, but I think there's a third sell-off on the precious metals still to come. So even though you're rallying now, and it's super tempting to be as a trader to be buying that rally on gold, I can't answer how big a scale type slap down. And typically you get selling in waves of three. And it's going into the savings and investment pot. You don't have that same sensitivity to entry. And that's a very important distinction. Trading is a different kettle of fish. You've got to be more accurate and you've got to be far more disciplined. And I say often, and I talk about this, people have to earn the right to utilize leverage. And most people don't get to that point. Just because they've invested a couple of times before and just hodled on while they were distracted by working and doing other things, doesn't mean you're going to be a great trader. You need a real methodology if you choose to trade and you start
Excellent.
to use a little bit of leverage. And that's what we focus on with the HVF method. However, we tend to see a much higher degree of compliance to the rule of three. So there's an up and over, it's going to tempt all the bulls in, and that'll really hurt them if it sells off again. And that will be oil rallying and dollar pushing back again. So they're playing you at the moment with this escalation, Straits of Hormuz, and then a de-escalation. Oh, we might be signing peace document, certain amount, da 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 da. These guys are regulating how much stress they are introducing into the system through throttling. They want to keep it alive. They've got you by the throat. It's a choke point, and they're throttling you. But if they kill you immediately, the whole thing's dead and gone. They need you to stay just alive enough.
Francis Hunt, the market sniper. Good to see you. Really good to see you. It's morning my time. I think it's the evening your time, but just good to spend some time with you here. So a lot of stuff going on in the world, and it's had a profound effect on markets. Talk to me about that, and we'll start with that.
Wow, yes. So essentially, we've got a bilateral market, almost binary. You've got spells that we've had now of dollar strength that's just kind of had a little bit of an ending. During the dollar strength period, here's how the theme goes. It's usually associated with oil strength even more than the dollar. So it's an oil squeeze up, which is part of a stagflationary move. Which is going to lead to a hyperstagflation is what we've predicted as a major macroeconomic environment. More on that in a bit. But in terms of market trading, if you're long oil, you're also partially long a dollar, even though that's counterintuitive because oil is obviously priced in the dollar. And in our view, we long the dollar during that period, which has just kind of had an ending, a little slap in the face. During that period, you want to be long the dollar against the Korean won. You might even have a little bit of long the dollar against the yen. This is a dollar assertive period. It's been a softer period for gold and silver. That's obviously changed just recently. We'll talk about that. But more generally, the last 2, 3 weeks that are behind us, it's been a bearish period for tech and tech stocks. It's a sell-off period for Bitcoin. And it's been a soft period for gold and silver. During that, which is the stagflationary element. Why? Because debt and fiat dies. Rates have been going up on the bonds down as well. So the things that go up are the dollar and the oil during the Hormuz narrative. And all the other things I mentioned are largely short. However, what we are seeing now is we've had a little backing off of the oil. You've got the tech stocks rallying. You've had a little bit of a pullback on the rates on the bonds. You had a bit of a Bitcoin mini bounce, and you've got a much more energetic bounce on gold and silver that has come in, and you're getting a rally. I want to warn a little bit, and we'll go to the charts when we do that, but I think there's a third sell-off on the precious metals still to come. So even though you're rallying now, and it's super tempting to be as a trader to be buying that rally on gold, I can't answer how big a scale type slap down. And typically you get selling in waves of three. So maybe it's worth taking you into the gold charts, because I'm pretty sure you'd never mind, you're never unhappy to have a start in the gold charts as a point of reference. So let me just take off
Yes.
all the draws first. All right, it's going to keep drawing fib. Sorry about that. Let's just delete that. I had a Fibonacci on. Go, go, go. Okay, and we'll take the eye off on that. So inherently, this is what you've had so far. You had a slap in the face after the runaway blow-off here into these levels. Boom, you got one sell-off. You got a very strong, robust buy-the-dip response, deeply embedded. Many bullion guys deeply embedded in only way was up, that will only do straight lines. So you get a very strong rally. This brought you up to around, ooh, around 78.6. I'm actually going to go to let Tickmill go and get a longer chart. Go with the Oanda broker there. It's one of our, and I'm going to show you that fib. Let's see what we've got. We might have it still on. Unhide the drawings. Okay, no, we haven't. So you had a fib retrace to about 78.6. So that shows how deep the belief system was in there. And I felt also that we might stay in that range. So what am I talking about? You got a rally right back up to 78.6. So at that juncture, I was thinking there's a decent chance we'll stay in the range of the fib. Wrong. This second sell-off was particularly brutal after we left the 5K mark. 5K, key round number. You went really low vol there. You were either going to bounce or you're going to sell off. But even a sell-off, I wouldn't have necessarily assumed it would run the 4-3. It did. So this turned into quite a big sell-off and an aggressive sell-off. That's led, it was an overreaction. This is a very stretchy hammer, which is usually very good for rejection. So on the weekly and the daily time frames, you would have been expecting a bounce now, and you are getting it. So if I just show you the daily chart, let's also get some more real estate into view here and get this really nicely set out. So you can see that hammer, you would have expected a bounce to come out of this. My concern for everybody is they're going to get one more rinse, and that's going to be a little bit like, ouch, because people are going, okay, this time it's now the rally, we're back to going good, and I think you get one more sell-off. Despite this being a very strong hammer, you're getting the hammer reaction, but you're likely to have a third sell-off, because selling off comes typically in waves of three. And so that's the concern for people that get too bullish now. If they're chasing too hard, you could get washed. Now, the third sell-off, how do we know how big it is? Well, we don't. We don't. But typically, the largest sell-off is the third one, which you've just had, and that was the largest. So in a sort of a five wave Elliott type draw, let me just see if I can find the Elliott's. I'm scrambling, I don't often do this one.
Got it. And it really, again, it really, that was an overreaction. And I say that, but it was an overreaction to the upside, that blow off top there. And then it looks like we had two overreactions. And just to recap what you're saying, we should have another third leg down. That's what typically happens, correct?
Yes. So I would, there is somewhere on here, and I've been a bit daft because I've done it before, and I've just like completely brain farted the memory of how I did it last time. But you can see that this actually went past one. If it had fallen this far at the 4,258, you would have had the same size move. Sometimes it's as much as 61.8. Larger, that would have brought you down to 3.6. So you had a lot of guys, a lot of people were talking about, you know, Gareth Soloway and other analysts saying 3,000. So if you'd done a 61.8, you would have gone right down there. And there were other analysts all calling for 3,500. And they were almost dining out a little bit too much on being uber bearish, in my view. And you didn't make that 1.618, which is the third leg. So that's your first, That would be your rally. That's where you get the 61.8, often the largest leg extension. The fact that it didn't go that far is already a sign that, you know, it's not going to be a typical conforming leg or as bad as some of people think. And you've already, even if it stopped right here, you've already had quite a considerable rally as well. So if I were to do the same fib, this isn't the correct way to do it. There is, in fact, Elliott. There was an Elliott's wave feature, which I just lost. But let's say you topped over here. And you had that down leg, that's now the third. If that was just to go the same amount down, you would have to go to 3.587. And I don't personally see that. Normally, it is, this is the 1.618, it's 61.8. So if you were just to have the same size as the original move, this is the one, that's the 1.618, and then you get another approximately one. It's not perfect in every way, but if you were to get a degree of one down, you might get to 3.7. Again, this didn't do the 61.8. It's already underperforming the typical Elliott five waves of selling. So there's no reason to think it's going to also do the one. You've had quite a robust bounce. By the way, these were all at key levels that we've highlighted before a number of times on legacy work when we were coming to the upside here. A lot of double bottoms and necklines and double bottoms and targets all going through during this period here. So it's quite natural. And it's quite interesting that you also bounced on a target the first time. So key levels of significance, something that are we do a lot on in terms of our HVF method, and I would say you're probably going to get a third sell-off, and I actually think that third sell-off may not make a new low. It may fail to even reach this low. Your largest was here. You had a very violent phase right there, and it's quite plausible you just come back. You might make a double bottom if you came all the way, but even that's quite a bit given how well it's gone up. You could just have a leg somewhere in this range over here, and it dissipates. Because what I've noticed is, despite the strength of this to the downside, is the rally has been equally strong. Remember, the low was here. You've retraced quite a bit of it already. So there is a third sell-off, in my opinion, and I've avoided the temptation to chase in long, even though on lower time frames there was setups. I don't like to be too tactical and just take, you know, the little setups along the way, you know, and go, okay, well, we'll trade that on the low time frame and just hit and run. If I'm getting back into gold, I want to do it properly for a longer term hold. So I'm avoiding dropping into day trading, if you know what I mean. So overall, whilst this is generally positive, I do want to just caution that my suspicion is you're going to get another rally. By the way, even more beautiful a chart, and you're going to ask it next, so I'm going to jump right to it, is the silver.
Yeah, if you could. And I also just want to comment really briefly. I really do appreciate that you don't chase and that you're disciplined. You're very, very disciplined trader and investor, or long term, which is to me that they're the same thing. It just depends on your time frame. But you're just waiting for it to come to you and just the right technical setup for you to accumulate more. Is that correct?
100%. That is the goal. And it's a tough discipline because I'm a natural bull on gold. I want to buy every dip. There's a difference.
Me too. Me too.
There's a difference in terms of the investment persona. So I'm talking about where, when you are trading, entries truly matter.
Yes.
When you are macro long term on your blue pot, which is deleveraged, it is just money that you put away, you don't really need right now, and it's going into the savings and investment pot. You don't have that same sensitivity to entry. And that's a very important distinction. Trading is a different kettle of fish. You've got to be more accurate and you've got to be far more disciplined. And I say often, and I talk about this, people have to earn the right to utilize leverage. And most people don't get to that point just because they've invested a couple of times before and just hodled on while they were distracted by working and doing other things. Doesn't mean you're going to be a great trader. You need a real methodology if you choose to trade and you start
Excellent.
to use a little bit of leverage. And that's what we focus on with the HVF method. The exciting thing for silver is this is almost a better setup than the gold one. Gold will lead, but this one is pointing to a disproportionate reaction given how hard it sold off here. It almost had its worst sell to start. And I want to just highlight there is a difference here between silver and gold. Silver got properly spanked on that first instance. You were nigh on a 50% correction. You were at 121.67 and then you're down at 63 at the low. Now, if you double that, that takes you to 126. You're nigh on 50%. You're probably knocking on a 45% correction. Gold being more robust held up better in the first instance, but had a far nastier sell-off period here. You know, once it was quite clear we were selling off for a second, and it had an extended second in sell. Silver has shown that actually it was more robust because it had taken a bigger beating first time. It didn't rally as high as gold. So remember, I highlighted that you did a 78.6. So silver was flatter on the down leg and the recoil rebounce. But since then, the compression from these levels has been far less. So actually, on a relative strength basis, since the sell-off occurred again, silver's been stronger. And we prefer this overall structural pattern, which you might note. I'm just going to hide my point and figure tool that has been doing some draws there as well and just show you the falling wedge. So this is a beautiful and classic technical setup. There was a squeeze, by the way, that was taking you up. And we talk about the three impulse falling wedge. And what you quite clearly have is the very steep one, which is typical, the high volatility, blow off into proper slap. Remember, silver got the harsher slap first time. So we often talk about church's steeple in terms of the spikiness of the first impulse. Then you get more of a flattening. There's some complexity. It's more of a king's crown. It rounds out a bit of convexity. You can see some of the volatility is dissipating, but still relatively volatile, just not as violent as this. You see those two candles there were brutal candles. And we had a lot of bleeders on our YouTube channel, you know, moaning at me that silver went down as if it's going to go up in straight lines because we'd sort of, you know, the silver messiah and now we are the silver bastard. And you said, and we were like, well, we were fortunate to have got out before that. And we even mentioned it on X that we're expecting that this to fall. We had a lot of targets here. Second interims were run on big macro setups on HVF method. So we had actually been stepping back. We didn't ride that downside, but a lot of the free views on YouTube did. And it was a case of you should have stop losses, and you know you shouldn't trade off of any signals unless you have all the signals. So what's actually happening for us is that you're in a creation of a more low vol third move,
Excellent.
and this may or may not bounce here. It may come to the same level as the last low. It could come a tiny bit lower. But when that part is done, we anticipate a break. Now, there are some really high momentum moments where you can have a rushed third impulse. I don't think we've met the criteria for the third impulse, but we sometimes talk about, and this is how we'll be wrong. So for those that ask, you always got to ask, how do we be wrong? You could have a rushed third impulse. Sometimes you can do just that, and it just doesn't move to the splitter, and that's it. It's very disproportionate to everything else, and typically the best structures have quite a bit of proportion. So that would be a very rushed third impulse, and it didn't come down clearly to the lower basing descending grind line that I've highlighted here. So it's less likely, it lacks proportionality. What you'll also know is we get a concept we refer to as complexity, where you zig and zag, even though overall it's a arc, much like that. You can see that it shoots a little bit beyond to the upside, then a little to the downside, then a beyond to the upside. The crown element, the spikiness, that's called complexity, the degree that it varies to a nice smooth curve. And it's absolutely normal for you to have some of that in the three. So were you to have that, you do a little bit above, then you do a little bit below, a little bit above, a little bit below, a little bit above, a little bit below. But they tend to be a bit smaller. In other words, not as big as these swings
That
that
is
you get.
drastic.
Yeah. So you continue to see dissipation in the volatility. It's like a calming incident. I mean, we refer to it as the slap in the face, technically, when you get this degree of volatility, because it's kind of like somebody chatting up a girl and it's all going so well. And then he starts to get presumptuous and puts his hand on her knee or something like that. And then he gets a short, sharp slap in the face. He went too far too soon. And then it's kind of like a face saving, reducing the volatility. I'm sorry, respect your space. What else can I do, anything? And it's all like it's got to calm all down before he can either gracefully depart or hope to try rebuild his chances. And that's what you get in the market. You've got this jolt, and volatility dissipates slowly, but it can sometimes return with a bang out of nowhere. So it can detonate. So unlike tides that come in slowly and they go out slowly, volatility is something that explodes from a very extreme low moment and then takes its time like a tide dissipating. So we are probably going to watch it become a bit boring and a bit dull. And you want to celebrate that because that's when everyone goes, ah, it's a boring market, let's go elsewhere. That's usually just before it's about to start moving again. So we
Great
love,
point. Great point.
extreme low volatility.
Okay, so I have a question on that. With that triangle that you drew, and that's a beautiful triangle. So you're looking to volatility to contract, for lack of a better word, and then you're looking at perhaps a bounce on the lower end of the triangle, and then a breakout on the top end of the triangle. Is that correct? Is that what I'm
Can
seeing?
you allow me to be a bit pedantic and correct you a bit? Because
Please.
this will just upgrade your communications on technical matters. Triangles are when you have separate gradients. One has a downside gradient and the other has an upside gradient.
Got
They
it.
don't have to be symmetrical. So you can have a steep one and then you can have a quite a flat increasing one. That would still qualify as a triangle. When both are downward based, just at different gradients, that is a wedge. So refer to it as a wedge more correctly. I know it looks like a triangle in terms of how you were taught geometry, but in a technical context, we'll refer to it as a wedge
We'll
because
take
both,
them.
yeah,
We'll
it's
take them.
both the capping descending grind line is a descending grind line and the basing descending grind line. And we give them these naming standards to help people get to the subatomic aspects that makes for a wedge. And we call this the splitter, which is the aggregate rate of descent of the entire structure taken to a point. So that is a wedge. Triangles are where your one side is upward. It doesn't matter the degree, and the other side is downward. In a
Got it.
technical context, you're not wrong in terms of geometry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just mentioned that. So, but the rest of everything you said is spot on. We're looking for a dissipation of volatility and form. It gets lazy and it gets quieter and it gets a bit boring. So I do think there's a chance we roll not too far away in here. I can adjust these lines marginally, but I can't completely cheat this. If I'm wrong, if we're trading at 84 tomorrow, I'm wrong on the falling wedge in terms of my expectation. Then that was your quick rushed third. You only had you had a breakout from the second phase, literally very tight third, and you went straight into the move. And that can happen and occasionally happens. However, we tend to see a much higher degree of compliance to the rule of three. So there's an up and over. It's going to tempt all the bulls in, and that'll really hurt them if it sells off again. And that will be oil rallying and dollar pushing back again. So they're playing you at the moment with this escalation, Straits of Hormuz, and then a de-escalation. Oh, we might be signing peace document, certain amount, da 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 da. These guys are regulating how much stress they are introducing into the system through throttling. They want to keep it alive. They've got you by the throat. It's a choke point. and they're throttling you. But if they kill you immediately, the whole thing's dead and gone. They need you to stay just alive enough. And if you start, the signs start getting hectic, you have the debt markets falling out of the bed, the beginning of a tech rout starting to loom, then they throttle it back again and say, hey, we're making peace and no more things will be let through and no more bombs happening, da 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 da. And then the things start to revert. You know, people are quickly, they go from absolute fear to absolute greed in a very short time, and they start going all frothy again, and then they quickly bring up the fear again. So you need to think of this as almost a regulated process. So I think we'll probably roll over one more time. That's not to say that I'm saying it goes lower. Often inside the wedge, you get a bounce, say on the splitter here at the same level, or it doesn't even come as low. It can go a touch lower, but not too much because this descent here is at that gradient and that you already popped out the bottom quite a fair bit and the volatility is getting less. So I can't tell you how far down, but I'll wait until it starts to bottom and the market will tell us. And if we make it down here, or if we're here and it starts to go up, it would be better to buy in then. And if it keeps going on up, as I say, and you're at 84 or even, you know, even 81s, I would say, then it's broken fast. Then I'm a chasing, and that's a, not a position I like to be in. But then you end up a chaser. But
Got
I'm
it.
going to show some patience on balance of probabilities that the full structure will play out. So there's going to be another, don't forget another thing, Andy. We're talking Wednesday. I don't know what day this will be going out. It's Wednesday, the 1st, April Fool's Day. Thanks for having me on Fool's Day. In spite of that gag, Thursday and Fridays, they tend to warm the fear up again. And we have a quite nervous
Right.
weekend. That's been a trend we've also noticed. So oil tends to go up into the Friday because who knows what garbage might go down on the weekends. And you have 2 days without responding it. And there's all the fear that, that is too, you know, things escalating. Yeah, you don't have to protect against things de-escalating. You protect against escalation. So people position for that. So I'll just leave that with you. Again, if oil goes up, they are slightly adversarial in terms of how they position now. With the oil going up, we'll also see fear and a dollar going up, and that'll be bad for Bitcoin, potentially softening for gold, and also for the tech stocks again going into the weekend. And bond markets, the rates will go higher and the values down. So let me hand back to you because we've gone, we've done quite a bit of detail on the silver here.
Yeah, and thank you for all of that. I guess the big thing I take away from this is the market's going to tell us entry points. If you're a trader, it's just you got to be really, really stress disciplined to wait for the markets to tell us and the charts to tell us what are the great entries. Yeah, let's talk about the miners, the mining ETF or
Sure,
spot. Go
let's
ahead.
do that. I do just want to say, with this kind of bounce on gold and gold leads, I really think the 3.5 grand callers are going to be caught short. I don't think you're going to be seeing that. But who knows? It will take a different degree of crisis. That means they're prepared to let everything go all fall down. If you get the 3.5 grand to the downside run, which can happen, it's just not my highest probability option. If we get that, the Nasdaq and Bitcoin will be horrendously down in that, and you'll be in, okay, this is the correction. And there is the possibility that we're going to have that moment. I just think they're going to drag this out in stages, and I don't just think you're going to get the whole puke, you know, right
Right.
now, every last chunk, and you get projectile vomit the lot in the next session. But so I think we're going to continually to have bad, worse. You know, there's going to be hot, cold. You're going to be kept tap dancing because generally traders lose in those markets because they're chasing momentum and responding to news. And the minute you start responding to one form of news, by the next week, they're pivoting it on you. So you end up always, you know, buying tops and selling bottoms. And you want to avoid being caught in the reactional cycle. So I tend not to listen to the news. Just look at the charts and say, I think you're going to get sold off one more time, gold. I stand ready to utilize that opportunity. And I'll wait till you show me the bottoms in. I don't need to, I'm not trying to buy the bottom. I'll let the first 5 or 10% put real volume in. That's the value also. And I'm using two different kinds of candles here, but the fat candles show you real volume as well. And right now, these two candles are not in terms of 12-hour sessions, not particularly fat, and they can be retaken back. You'll note when you get to lows, you tend to get the bigger volume. Real capitulation selling here, and
Right.
then real value buying there. And even this candle and the one in between, that was real. Okay, guys, if you're coming down here, we're buying. Those three guys had quite a bit of fatness on them. These are quite skinny Belinky, as I would say. That was very much like the in-betweener waiting for the news. Very small, low vol, you get the spiller. So I'll watch and see. Those can be taken back relatively easy, given the volume there that they're going up on.
Got it. No, that's a beautiful picture right there. So yeah, let's talk about the miners.
Yeah, you were asking about GLD.
Oh, I'm
I think
sorry.
that means GDL, was it? Oh, sorry.
GDX. I'm sorry, GDX, if you don't mind.
GDX. Well, that's GLD, which is quite clearly mimicking. You can see there's a commonality with
Right.
the gold. And you can see the tops. You could see that we were getting fatter on the green here, and then you had a super fat red with quite a volatile session. That was a bit of a warning because you gapped open. This is on a 12-hour even, so it's not even a daily chart, and you came right the way down, rallied right the way back up. Very volatile. If I put the volatility index on that, you would have seen that that was getting pretty high. Interestingly, it might have a little bit flag-like type structure in terms of it. All of these structures, both on gold and on silver, are what we call continuation of macro trend structures, despite the fact that they sold off a great deal. Remember, we called the
Right.
start of a generational move at 25.9, and silver's still at 77. You know, it's still at nearly three times where we called the start of a generational move, despite having a 45% correction in that. All ongoing. We've got a $333 target where you'll gestate again. Then we've got a single digit gold silver ratio, which you'll see it be quite a bit higher still as well. So this is in the same category, Andy, of what we're talking about. You know, this is just continuation trends with cycles in between. And you've had the one sell-off, you've had the second sell-off. The one sell-off here was really violent, big volume, and you can already see the volume reduce quite a lot here. You are a little bit uppity on quite thin volume, which sets you up for, if you get a bit more uppity for that third sell-off. But that doesn't mean you go all the way to the bottom of the channel range. I think you could do something like that. And the break that you want is that capping, descending grind line, which is the top line structure in a flag-based continuation situation. So this is still a flag. You look at where you come from, that's a big flag pole, you know. That's a flag on a flag pole. So there's no crying in baseball. This guy goes higher in due. If your time frame is long enough, this guy goes a lot higher.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And don't forget that they had a perfect storm, which they weren't really fully given the gift of before that we had, and we'd called this, that oil was underperforming gold for an extended period. So you had very cheap energy for mining, and you had very high mining prices. You've had a short-term inversion of that, which has affected margins somewhat with an increase in the energy costs and a decrease on the top line number for revenue. So there is a little bit of a multiplier effect on that, and you saw that. So you're in on the gold silver ratio. Something else worth watching. You know, you had a very big move. We actually, funny enough, drew this on a smaller time frame. You had a little squeeze there that was pointing to the gold silver ratio going up, which was pretty bearish generally. You normally don't want that in the bull market. It was that little guy over there. You got overperformance, you got a flag again, and you got a further surge upside. This was at the worst moments, and silver got the hardest sell-off first time. Remember that. And what I've been highlighting is, now, if I change color, you're kind of in a different space. You're in a flattening, reducing volatility. You know, I probably want to do this. You might have three there. Now, that could break easily to the downside, but you can see the volatility is reducing. And we'll see, but maybe first it goes a tiny bit higher on the range before coming down and breaking. It depends how gold and silver react on this current rally and possible rollover. I'm assuming in my base case that there would be one, but it's not a guarantee, or it's already happened and it was much smaller, hence the disproportionality I mentioned.
Got it. Okay, excellent. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about oil. I know you had some great calls on oil, and then it does seem like, again, it's very macro driven. Yeah, what are your thoughts? I'm a long-term oil bull, but I was apprehensive. I was already in, and I mean that not as a slap on my back. It was just from everything you just say is a quiet market, and then we had all this news and we had to rush up. I have not sold any of my oil stocks, just for the record, but I do expect some kind of pressures, which is what we've been having. But what are your views on all of that?
Yeah, so I think it's going. I technically is how I will always trade oil and expect to see, the next moves or responses in it in through the charts. If we go, let's bring the screen share up again.
And I don't know how much more time you have. I just want to re be
Oh,
respectful
plenty.
of your
Yeah,
time.
no, plenty for you, always, Andy. Don't worry about that. Let's just bring up the share and go there. I do have someone actually at five, having said plenty, which is in about 2 minutes, but I will ask Alex to, I'm sure you'll mention that I might be 5 or 10 minutes late.
Yeah,
So
we'll end
again,
on this. Go ahead.
yeah, so again, you had the macro falling wedge, which was, and
Yep.
think of this as we talk about silver, by the way, because
Look
this
at
is how
that.
that. That's how that wedge resolved in the end. Again, very spiky at first, a much more sleepy, laid-back second impulse. Then you got your third, and then you drifted down. This is examples of low volatility, very small bodies. They did have a small drift to the downside. And there you see, you never got to the base. You just double bottomed. And that's a sign of relative strength. You're now starting to peel up inside the structure. You're not making the low. You're saying, you know what? Because markets trade inside the pattern, which has a downward descending splitter, for example. There it is. But they also still, every now and then, if there's not real strength or weakness, they also respect horizontal levels. And they go, you know what? We bottomed here last time, and you suddenly had a hammer there. And you had a wick and a wick there, and then you popped off it. So I'll just show you that again. You got down to that. You started to hammer. You had a test, and actually, the buyers were saying, if you come back down here again, we're going to be showing up. So then you had a sort of an inside of range downward day, and then you traded down one more time, and again, the wick got bought up. So
Yeah.
kind of interesting. And
Very
then you got
beautiful.
a green candle. And then you got another green candle where they tested downside. They said, no way in hell. And not only are we taking you back to where you opened, but we're giving you some on top of that. So you actually had a very strong drumstick kind of candle. And then the next minute you knew you were gapping. You gapped the open, and that was on the event. And now you're in the month that we just had, March month, where you literally, it was all just one big rip. That's the breakout that can happen out of. The falling wedge. I would draw it, let's draw it more tidily for you, but in terms of the oil, it would look something like that.
Yeah, that's
That's the
beautiful.
tidy draw, yeah.
And then, real
So
quick, do you expect that gap to be filled?
down here,
Yeah.
well, it depends how long you're prepared to wait. If the question is, will we ever trade again at $70? I would say almost certainly. But I think in terms of a tradable event, that's not really relevant. People overemphasize this. I've read the book many, many years ago, 68% of gaps close, whatever the case may be. That's actually largely, in most instances, untradeable if the time frame for that closure is far out.
Years, yeah.
It's only useful to tactical traders if it's going to be in the short term,
Got it.
and if you have a really big gap. So, and then we got the guys who, who started talking about gaps on the, Bitcoin, when it's trading on the futures. And, that's just annoying because actually, they aren't gaps because on an exchange that was open when the futures were closed, There wasn't a gap. It just traded through. But if you're going to shut when you do business and then open up 2 days later while something's been happening and actually has an open market, you're going to manufacture a gap by saying, I went away and wasn't available to take price data. Well, that's on you. That's not an organic gap by the market. So, I water down the gaps thinking. People tend to get a little bit stuck in some tropes in terms of, is it tradable? Is it useful to you, really? And the answer in most instances, especially in that Bitcoin example, where you're talking about an exchange which shuts down on Saturday and Sunday, it has no relevance at all. So I don't think this is trading, but at some point it might. But how's that tradable? How many years would you wait? And what if it goes to 150 on the way to closing that? You're going to be wrecked, never mind holding on for it. So it's just not tradable. I have a trader's mindset. And yeah, sorry, I sound like I've been your old man today for giving you lessons at every turn on anything you say.
It's okay.
But it's more my defense mechanism for hoping to educate traders in the best possible way against any possible tropes that can do them harm. The fact that it closes is not tradable, especially in this case, as I say. What if it went to $200 before it closed the gap? You'd be completely busted flush because how do you size? And unless you did the most minuscule size, you wouldn't be able to hold that trade open. It's just a point. But yeah, so we'll see what happens on oil. You had a big month, but you also had quite a big sell-off wick. If I just turn off some of the clutter that I've put on here. I've also got the point and figure tool that we've designed on it. So let's take everything off. It's quite a big sell-off. You did hit a high. But we recently just said, there's an HVF structure in this, and I'll draw it for you. So you've asked for oil, I'll give you the full hit. Interestingly enough, when you have big gap moments, they are still relevant to us as a key level of significance point of view. So that was the sort of last trade before you opened. So you had a band through that. And it's quite fascinating because it's also quite just under the $100 mark. So our view is big round numbers, a lot of derivatives. You weren't allowed to hold above 100 very long. You weren't allowed to hold above 100 very long. Again, rejected 100, rejected 100, rejected 100. And what's actually happened is we broke above this, and we've had probably the longest period by candle. Each candle represents a 4 hour session. You only had one, two, three, and then you were below 100 again. And here you just have one poke outs. You have literally individual poke outs. So you've had the longest period. And this is why another of my things, there's some people that have said oil's going to 300 or 250. No, for stagflation and a very strong version, a hyperstagflation, you just need, in such a weak economy, a sustained period at the 120s and 125 going 130. You have 9 months in that range. You don't need $250 oil. In this weak economy, you're going to crush so many things, especially when you're going to get the plastics, the fertilizers, everything being the multiplier effect. This is why I say everybody thinks oil's a commodity, and I say it's a weapon of financial destruction, masquerading as a commodity wearing camos. He's ready to brawl and do serious damage like no other commodity is going to do. He's the fire starter. One of our YouTuber, I don't know if you remember Flint. He was the guy of the Prodigy that had the funny hairstyle and saying, "I am a fire starter." Oil is that guy. He's the punky looking USA jumper. "Oh, I'm the fire starter." He starts macroeconomically at a financial way like no other commodity can. Coffee can't do that. It's probably the second best by volume. It doesn't matter any of the others, bananas and OJ, orange juice. It's not doing that to the world economy. Oil is the masquerading as a commodity. It's a financial weapon of pure destruction because it does exactly what they need. It pumps up the inflation number across so many spaces in everything. And it curtails freedom of movement because via pushing the costs up, it does so many useful things for them, and that's why OPEC was the creation with America and Israel. It was intended because they needed the stagflation because of Nixon's overexpenditure in Vietnam and the suspension of the gold window. And that's when we went free float. And then they brought in Volcker to pump up the rates and destroy the value of the debt. And they did. Now, the question is, we don't need oil near as high in real terms. They didn't go that high in nominal terms back then, but in real terms, for what the dollar bought you, they did go very high. And because the interest rates can't go up as high, nothing. We're a much more sensitive system because the degree of debt has gone even further. So the system is so fragile that, as I say, a sustained period, you do 9 months between $120 and $130,
That's all you
and
need.
you're going to have steady, nasty stagflation. You can do slow retrenchments. They don't ever have to do a big puke. They can just keep it bouncing and just keep bleed out pain. Death by a thousand cuts, bouncing between real grinding nastiness. But they might then choose to have a Lehman's moment, and then maybe then, you could, in that scenario, if you have a full-blown Lehman's moment, you could get Gareth Soloway's 3.5 on the gold. But I think they want to just keep throttling it just enough, waterboarding you so you're just staying alive. But it's not very pleasant on a sustained basis. So I think they're going to wear you down. I don't think this thing's over in a hurry.
Well, Francis, you need to go, and I just want to thank you so much for your time. One of the things I wanted to say, it reminded me, you mentioned round numbers. I think that's really key. You mentioned that with me before. I read that 30 years ago in the market, New Market Wizards. A lot of the big traders would look at round numbers. So you brought back that memory and that lesson, really. Francis, people want to do business with you. I'll put all of everything in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. But how do people find you, and how do people work with you if they want to become a better trader?
Well, there's a unique set of opportunities for building wealth because you're going to have major movements in markets right now. Sadly, it's a polarizing event. Most people don't see what's coming. They don't see the hyperstagflation that we keep predicting. I'm seeing so many more people refer to stagflation in the 70s now. We've been saying it for 6 years. Do you know, in 2009, I booked the URL Global Stagflation, and I was thinking of naming my channel that. And then I did Hyperstagflation, only to find somebody else had done the YouTube in 2009 called Hyperstagflation. So I couldn't do it. But I continued utilizing the phrase. So I'm not the first one or the originator. Someone had started a YouTube channel. He hasn't posted in 20 years, I think. But nonetheless, the name was done. But all of that said, there is a real wealth building opportunity in that for the few that are educated and smart. And we are focused on wealth building. Then that preservation of that wealth, there's going to be way more attack vectors on those that are wealthy, particularly if you're not in the insiders club, and how you can use the insiders tools to protect that and do the things they do. It's part of our services. And then also secure yourself freedom. I don't actually desire to be disproportionately noteworthy in wealth. I'd rather be anonymous in truth, but I do want my lifestyle. I want to have my freedom of movement and the things I love to do and the way to express them and lots of opportunities. So you don't have to be money hungry, greedy, but if you are, that's also good. But nonetheless, lifestyle and how you want to see out your years in good standing without having to think too hard is pretty damn important. And for that, you're going to have unique opportunities, even if you're not wealthy now, to build that wealth and then invest some of it in preserving it and securing that lifestyle. That's what our channel's about. If it resonates to you, pop over to the Market Sniper YouTube channel. We also cover crypto under the same name, the Crypto Sniper. Thanks for having me on, Andy.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Francis. I will have you on anytime. And to all my viewers and listeners, we're going to get this out right away because time is of the essence. Thank you so much, Francis.
Bye-bye.